Hello. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. God's word for our consideration this Christmas evening is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This is God's good news to us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, living here in Phoenix, our idea of Christmas is just a little bit different. Living here, we have to do a little more importing. I mean, if we want a white Christmas, we need a snow machine, or to take a trip up to Flagstaff, or to some other high country spot. If we want a big family gathering, oftentimes it means driving back and forth to Sky Harbor Airport. Our idea of Christmas is a little bit different. And there are some Christmas traditions that don't really fit the valley's climate. We don't grow a whole lot of chestnuts here. And it seems like each and every Christmas there is a burn ban in Maricopa County, so the Yule log is out too. And it doesn't feel quite so necessary to have hot cocoa when Jack Frost is persona non grata. Christmas here is just a little bit different. But there is one thing that we share with the rest of the country. We love our Christmas lights. This is the time of year when our days get shorter and the light shows get more and more impressive. And just down the street, we have the Goodyear Ballpark. Right now, it's lit up for what they call Christmas in color. It's impressive. The racetrack, just a few miles away, ISM, has a Christmas light show too. And I bet your neighborhood has some pretty impressive lights as well. Christmas is the time of year when we are reminded of the beauty of light. Christmas lights are beautiful. But the Christmas light, Jesus, is something far more special. Christmas is the time of year where we are meant to bask in the glory of the light. To be reminded that the light isn't just beautiful, but it's powerful and necessary. See, Isaiah understood the necessity of light. Did you hear how he described the world around him? He said it was a land of deep darkness. Now, we might wonder, why was it so dark? Well, it wasn't an economic problem. Most people in Isaiah's day lived very well. The fields were productive. Their vineyards were fertile. The land was full of horses and chariots. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us that there was no end to their treasures. They had fine clothing and fine jewelry. They enjoyed big parties and they lived in big houses. The art scene was flourishing. They had big bands to entertain them at their banquets. The people were quite proud of all their accomplishments. They were doing well for themselves. But just because they were doing well for themselves didn't mean that they were doing anything right. That's why Isaiah says these people were walking in darkness. They didn't realize it. But as Isaiah highlighted the darkness within and the darkness that surrounded them, he noted that the people were constantly bickering and fighting, neighbor against neighbor. They imagined that their cutthroat ways of dealing with one another, that was just business as usual. They had no problem oppressing the poor. When someone fell on hard times, they'd opportunistically gobble up their property so that they could build bigger homes for themselves. Isaiah goes on to tell us in chapter 5 that the people denied justice to the innocent, the fatherless, the widows. Men in power accepted bribes. Women leveraged their beauty and used their sexuality to get things their way. Young people disregarded and insulted their elders. Judah was a land of rampant substance abuse, sexual abuse, and all kinds of immorality. The leaders were corrupt. The people were unprincipled. Their hearts and minds were totally polluted. The city harbored murderers. Nearly everyone had turned their back on the Lord. And some people, because they sensed how lost they were, sought out mediums and spiritists. But everyone called evil good and good evil. They substituted sweetness for bitterness and bitterness for sweetness. They replaced the light with darkness. The people of Isaiah's day were dwelling in darkness and totally unaware. Are we much different today? I mean, we may be doing well for ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we're doing anything right. I mean, how many nights can we watch the local news and not see brutality and violence? How many families are ripped apart in our communities by opioids? How many people are scarred from substance or sexual abuse? How many elderly folks languish away in places where they're preserved but not loved? We see so many poor people here in our community that we can become numb to them. Oftentimes, we totally look past them. And when we don't do that, we may cynically point to their past mistakes as the reason why they struggle. We may be doing well for ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we're doing anything right. Think about how little it takes nowadays for neighbor to fight against neighbor. We bicker over landscaping. We get frustrated by how and where cars are parked. We get bent out of shape when their political views don't align with ours. We may be doing well for ourselves, but that doesn't mean we're doing anything right. We have corrupt leaders. Our cities are hiding places for thieves, rapists, and murderers. Our hearts and minds have been polluted by the darkness that surrounds us too. And this darkness is deeper, far more destructive than we could ever imagine. Now, you may know that Isaiah wrote these words a long time ago, more than 2,700 years ago. And when he wrote them, he didn't write in English. He didn't speak English. So when he talks about those living in the land of deep darkness, he's echoing a psalm that is familiar to you, Psalm 23. Isaiah is saying that every single one of us by nature is living in the valley of the shadow of death. See, that's what happens when you try and live in darkness. When you try and live without light, you die. That's true biologically speaking. If the sun were to stop shining, mankind would be extinct in a matter of a few weeks. But it's also true spiritually speaking. If we don't have this great light that Isaiah speaks of, something far worse will happen to you and me. So what can we do? Well, we can't generate light in ourselves. We can't fill our world with light any more than we can fill ourselves with it. I mean, think about it. Think about how hard it is to chase away the darkness. Think about how hard it is to start good habits. How painful it is to break bad ones. When you're feeling down in the dumps, dark, gloomy, cold, alone, can you make yourself joyful just like that? We cannot fill ourselves with light. We cannot fill our world with light. Even when we want to do right, we are often too weak. Could any of us drive the darkness of selfishness from our hearts perfectly, permanently? No. We need the light of life to dawn on us, and that's precisely what happened on Christmas. The light that we need, the light that we crave, the light that gives life to mankind, dawned upon people trapped in and hemmed in by their own darkness. But this light has dawned upon us. And Isaiah tells us that this light is not a concept, it's not a program, it's a person. For to us, a child is born. That's the child we celebrate at Christmas. Isaiah is speaking of Jesus, the great light that dawned on those living in the land of darkness. But Isaiah tells us precisely why this child is so special, because he is more than meets the eye. He is truly human, but also fully God. He is the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is exactly what we need. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the kind of light we need to defeat the darkness of our sin. We need someone almighty, greater than our darkness. Jesus is our mighty God. You and I need someone with tender love and insightful wisdom to rescue us. Jesus is our everlasting Father. We need someone with humility and also connections to reconcile us with God. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We need someone who understands just how deep our darkness problem really is. Someone who will shed light on our sins and light our steps forward. Jesus, the light, is our wonderful Counselor. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. That is kind of a strange way of speaking of a birth, isn't it? But Isaiah is reminding us of where this son came from and why he came. Jesus is God's gift to this sin-darkened world. The mighty God came from heaven above to earth to live among people dwelling in darkness. Jesus was born to fight for us, to be our substitute and our Savior. That's why God inspired Isaiah to say, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Jesus waged war against the darkness. He preached the light of life, the good news of salvation, to people living in darkness. They saw his great light, and the darkness of evil raged against our Lord and Savior. In fact, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made an interesting remark to Judas, his betrayer, to the corrupt chief priests, to the wicked elders and temple guards, people who denied him justice and accepted bribes. In Luke 22:53, he said, "This is your hour, when darkness reigns." Remember, it was under the cover of darkness they arrested them. It was deep in the night when they dragged him into their courtroom and denied him justice and accused him of blasphemy. Why did they arrest him? Why did they mock a man who only spoke the truth? Why did they hit a man who had healed so many? Why were they so bent on executing him? Because the darkness hates the light. It was the darkness of mankind's sin that kept shouting, crucify him, even though he had committed no crime. And as he hung on the cross, darkness covered the whole land. From noon until 3 in the afternoon. On Good Friday, the sun literally stopped shining. And our mighty God died. The Prince of Peace was laid in a dark tomb, but 3 days later, like light broke through. Jesus rose from the dead, and the people rejoiced like it was harvest time, because the yoke of sin that burdened them was shattered. The rod of oppressive guilt and shame had been taken away forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty accomplished this. Our mighty God, our everlasting Father, established and upheld his kingdom with justice and righteousness by suffering for our sins and rising from the dead. See, this is the good news that Isaiah conveys for us. And he speaks to us as if we're gathered around the fire, as if we're people who have had a long struggle, who have faced an enemy for far too long. It says every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, fuel for the fire. This is the good news we need. God invites every single one of us to throw our battle boots and our war garments into the fire, because we don't need them any longer. Because the Prince of Peace fought for you and won. He gave his life in your place. So rejoice. Rejoice like warriors do when they're dividing up the plunder. That's the joy of Christmas. You've received the best gift of all. Light. Jesus, your wonderful Counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. And this Prince of Peace has a plan. You have enlarged the nations. You have increased their joy. They're like farmers at harvest time, like warriors after a big win. Do you see what God is telling you? You and I need the light more than anything, because this world is dark. Because on our own, we will succumb to darkness. But this light has drawn us to itself together. See, you and I are meant to share the light with each other, and that's why River of Life is here. To let the light of God's Son shine brightly. That's why I'm here. So that you might know the light better. And as we gather together in God's house for worship each and every week, we recognize that we're worshiping alongside people that are not always as light as they long to be. They still battle the darkness, but we are here for the light of life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And God's love, His grace, purifies us from all sin. That's what we have to celebrate here this Christmas. That's why we gather together to bask in God's light, to celebrate the gift that God has given to you and me, people living in the land of deep darkness. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. Amen.